You go to some village and people just surround you and they scream, "Go to my home, go to my place, talk to me, listen to my story." No, listen to my story, go to my house first. And each of them, they have very traumatic experience. Many of them, they have their relatives killed.
Und willkommen. Hamburg Arts, das ist ein Podcast mit Themen und Geschichten aus der Kunstwelt. Und ich bin Kai Detlefs, Journalist in Hamburg. Wir reden über Fotografien aus dem Krieg in der Ukraine mit journalistischen und auch künstlerischen Ansätzen. Das Odessa Photo Days Festival ist in diesem Jahr nach Hamburg gezogen und das hat Kurator Ingo Taupern vom Foxy bei den Deichtorhallen ermöglicht. Das Ganze ist eine Kooperation mit Kuratorin Katharina Ratschenko, die künstlerische Leiterin der Odessa Photo Days. Sie erschien in Hamburg begleitet von einigen der Fotografen. Einer von ihnen ist Daniel Russo, ein junger Fotograf, der den Schrecken des Krieges gleich zu Beginn in Kiew erlebt hat. Zum ersten Mal, sagt er, ist er dem Tod begegnet. Ich begrüße jetzt Daniel Russo. Das Gespräch haben wir auf Englisch geführt.
Where are you living right now in the Ukraine? Where are you living? What are you doing there?
Hello Kai. I'm living in Kiev City. It's the capital of Ukraine. I'm from Odessa myself, but I moved to Kiev almost 2 years ago. When the war started, I was in Kiev with my ex-girlfriend in our apartment, and I was the one who didn't believe that the actual invasion will happen until the last day. I was joking about it. I couldn't believe that this absurd is possible. So we woke up from explosions in Brovary. It's very close from Kiev. And from air raid sirens in the on our street, and the first emotion was shock. It's just the feeling when you encounter something which you don't know how to react to, and the first, I think, 30-40 minutes, it was just this process of adaptation, and maybe first 10 minutes it was denial, but then you realize that it's like the previous life is ended. When you enter the news, you open the news, you read them, and you see that Putin actually invaded Ukraine. These columns of tanks near Kiev, bombs on Kharkiv. Yeah, it was a horrible morning.
This moment in these days, what did you see in the streets? I mean, how was it for you?
I looked at the window and I saw people running, panicking. Actually, it was a very gloomy day. It was raining a little bit. You couldn't see sunshine anywhere. So I really felt as if I'm in some, historical Hollywood war film. First place where I went, it was supermarket, because I had my first thought would be that if the war starts, you need some resources, some water. So I went to the biggest supermarket I found, and it was full of people, like lines for 2 hours to the supermarket. And you hear the stories that people tell each other in the lines. Someone couldn't believe it's happening. Some old ladies were talking that, actually it will finish in one day. It's not possible. Some, like, nobody understood what Putin actually wants from us. What is the reason of this invasion? So mostly it was panicking, and people were also in this deep, deep shock from the things that we see in the news, all these pictures of bombs, of explosions, tanks, Russian soldiers, BTRs. It was horrible.
How did you react when was there the first moments where you thought, well, I have to take pictures, I have to work?
Yes. I was working as volunteer in Odessa. I evacuated my girlfriend and my female close ones to Poland, to European Union, and I went to Odessa because I felt it's my home city, you know, and I felt that I just need to be there in this moment. I thought it's gonna be like city battles. You know, I had this adrenaline rush and I felt that I want to participate in this. I want to protect my city. Then this adrenaline rush became a little bit less when I saw that this war actually looks as something very, very serious. It's not like 3 days conflict, you know. So I just became a volunteer in the kitchen. I was working almost every day for the whole month, cooking for soldiers, like 8, 9, 10 hours per day. And the first weeks I was very satisfied. I felt that I'm doing something very important, because not everyone from my friends even was volunteering. And then I started seeing these pictures of some Ukrainian photographers who actually made some work in Mariupol when Bucha was liberated. Also these first pictures of dead bodies, dead civilians. And in general, I just saw very, very good work from Ukrainian journalists. I think actually answering your question, the most important moment was this reportage from Mariupol by Evgeny Maloletka and Mstislav Chernov. It's two Ukrainian AP reporters, Associated Press, and it's their work with this maternity house that was bombed and this young ladies injured by Russian rocket. And actually these two journalists, they barely survived doing this job in Mariupol. They escaped. They were the last journalists, not only Ukrainian, the last journalists who were in Mariupol. And then they, by miracle, they survived and they left. And they showed this picture to the whole world. And I looked at them working in the kitchen. And I understood that probably I'm doing something something maybe not wrong, but I can do more as a photographer. I had this emerging, slowly emerging feeling that I want to create something. I want to make pictures. I want to fulfill my curiosity to see the war with my own lens, with my own eyes, with my own camera. So yeah, I decided to do that in the end of March.
What did you do? You went to the front line? No, it started somewhere at some given point.
Yeah, I just found one good photographer who was ex-boyfriend of my friend, and I I wrote to her and I asked maybe you can present me to him, because he was doing some good material also in Kiev, in Irpin Bridge, evacuating people under shelling. And I asked him for some advices, like, what do you advise me to do if I want to document the war? And his reaction was like, are you an idiot? Like, he didn't say that, but I felt this reaction, like, why do you want to do this even? It's very dangerous. So I decided that, and he's a nice guy, we're friends now, like we want to go to Bakhmut right now. After 6 months, Bakhmut is a frontline city in Donetsk, in Donbass, sorry. And so I decided that maybe I have to start for my own, because nobody will give advice to me because it's super dangerous. So yeah, I went to Bucha, Borodyanka and other deoccupied villages of Kiev with a group of British journalists. And I was just like a fixer translator. And I asked them, we had an agreement that they don't pay me as for a fixer, like usually it's like $100 or $200 per day. So they don't pay me, but they give me as much time as I need for making pictures in these places. So I'm not only translating for them, but they also give me time to walk around, to speak with the people. And they were super nice and they were okay with that. So it was my first experience just visiting these villages where it was super fresh after occupation. You just entered the village and all the people there, each person has his story, and you go to some village and people just surround you and they scream, go to my home, go to my place, talk to me, listen to my story, no, listen to my story, go to my house first. And each of them, they have very traumatic experience. Many of them, they have their relatives killed. We've heard a lot of stories about rapes from relatives of this raped people. And this, during this short trips to this deoccupied villages, I understood finally that I have to do this more. And I enjoyed the pictures that I made, even though I was unsure how to approach the topic, what kind of project I'm making, what kind of series it's going to be. I was just listening to my heart, even though it sounds, I'm glad that I didn't, I'm very happy now that back then I wasn't overthinking what I'm doing, because it was very true, and actually most of the pictures that I like now, they are from these first short trips with these British guys. Yeah, after that I also visited Chernigiv region. It was pretty much the same, but even with more destroyed buildings, and a lot of old people just lost their homes. They don't know what to do in their lives. Many of their sons are in Ukrainian army. And I went there alone, just took a taxi, you know, and just found a friend of my friend who hosted me. So I was just talking to people, walking in the streets, visiting villages. This was the moment when it was very safe. I didn't think about frontline, but I made pictures of civilians and traces of Russian presence on Ukrainian land.
What is your approach? I mean, is it being a documentary journalist? Is there some artistic approach, or what's the direction, your attitude, let's say?
I think it's actually a very good question, because when I talk to journalists, like real journalists, they usually call me an artist, like art photographer, or art documentarist. And when I talk to artists, they call me reporter and journalist. You know, like, we don't go to such places. We're not reporters. So actually, I don't know who I am in this sense. Maybe if you need some definition, I can call myself a subjective journalist, because I'm, of course, it's very important to cover what's happening and to document the war, document the realities. This function of photography, it's very important in this war. But for me, the most important part, even though it's egoistic maybe, but for me, it's what's most important is my personal experience. Maybe photography for me, it's some form of therapy also during this war, because to watch, to follow the events, follow the things that are happening in my country just from the internet, just, you know, see this only from news portals, it's very traumatic. Maybe it's me, maybe it's my personal thing, but I have a very high level of curiosity, some form of voyeurism, you know, to war. And photography is a great tool that I can use to fulfill this voyeuristic desire, just to see this most terrible thing that can happen to humanity. So instead of sitting in Instagram and seeing these pictures and stories, I can go there and document them myself with my personal style, with my personal view, and focus on things that are meaningful to me, maybe some details, maybe some emotions that are not in focus of other photographers and journalists. So something like that.
Well, you did encounter situations where you could see dead people, okay? I mean, you have been confronted with death. Could you tell something about this?
Yeah, my first encounter with dead person was actually during my first trip with this British journalist in early April. We found the body of that Russian. It was actually Buryat soldier. Buryats are ethnic minority on the east of Russia. They are they're like half Asian, and it's a lot of Buryats during this war in Ukraine because Buryatia is very poor region because Moscow sucks all the resources from Buryatia, and the only way to feed their families for these people is just to go to war to Ukraine. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not happy about this. Most of them, they are. They also have some kind of imperialistic desires, and it's a form of fulfilling this desire to dominate. But it's a lot of Buryat people in Ukraine, and I found this body of dead Buryat. It was bullet in his head, but somehow the head didn't explode from the bullet, so you just have this hole in his head and full of blood and closed eyes. And it was first encounter with that person, and some people were vomiting, I remember, because he was in this big black bag in which the Russian soldiers just put him and just left in the field when they were running. Yeah, and some soldiers, they just opened this bag for us, and it was terrible smell, full of flies flying from this bag. And I remember I didn't vomit. It was just, I was just staring at this body, and I think I understood that this is actually only beginning. If I really decided to do that, this kind of things, I will encounter more. And I was right, because I found a lot of dead bodies of civilians in Kharkiv region later in May, when I was having a very long trip to Kharkiv. We found in Vilhivka in Kharkiv region also mass grave of 11 Russian soldiers, and also two Russian soldiers was laying in the field near this mass grave, so it was 13 overall. So these were the bodies of soldiers that other Russians just didn't take with them when they were retreating. I don't know why, but I think it's a normal thing in Russian army just to leave soldiers because they're dead and we just don't need them. So yeah, it was also a very surreal experience when you just walk down the road and then you cross some little field and you encounter this mass grave with this also terrible smell, and these bodies were laying there for at least 3 weeks, and most of the heads of the soldiers were eaten by dogs. The brains were not brains already, but just liquid, you know, you can see this liquid on the grass. Yeah, and the detail that I remember from this scene with the soldiers in the mass grave is that most of them, they had belts on their pants with Soviet Union symbol. So it's basically military belts from Soviet army that they give to Russian soldiers now. And it was very symbolic because we found this mass grave on 9th of May. It was just coincidence. 9th of May is a very big feast, a very big victory day in Soviet Union and in Russia nowadays. And it's full of resentment. It's full of desire to show the world how powerful we are, military, you know. And everyone around us are enemies. They're like Nazis still, like the West is still Nazi lovers and Russia is just the only, you know, light in this darkness. So this is what this 9th of May parade actually means to them. This is why in Ukraine we don't celebrate it, because for us, we are more respectful to these events. We don't make we don't use this day to present how powerful we are. We just visit the graves of soldiers, because many Ukrainian people, they had relatives who served in the Soviet army and liberated Berlin and liberated Poland. And this scene I was talking about, the soldiers, it was very symbolic that they had this Soviet symbol and the belts, and they were left by other Russian soldiers, and it's this victory day, and we see in Telegram news that Putin is doing some speech in Moscow about fascism in Europe, and we are just coming back from this Vilhivka village after what we've seen.
Now, what are the perspectives, I mean, of your work, of your photography? I mean, what are you aiming at in the upcoming weeks or months? I mean, what will you do?
As I said, I'm happy I didn't think about such things before, but now I do, and maybe it's going to be a photo book, because I'm definitely not a journalist in a traditional way. I don't publish for any newspaper. Maybe because of the style of my photos, because I'm making it on film. So to actually get the picture, I need at least, it depends where I am, but I have to return to Kiev, I have to develop it, I have to dry it, I have to print it and then scan. So it's, you know, a lot of time. And news journalist, it's the person who makes picture, and the picture is ready this evening. He just, you know, edit this in Lightroom, and it's ready in the evening and ready to publish, to be published. So maybe photo book will be my final product that I will do.
So you're working with this analog films?
Yes.
For which reason? Why?
I was working with film long before. I mean, I'm using digital. Usually, I'm using digital for portraits, but when I do some documentary work, I just like the idea. I think that you document the unique moment, and this unique moment has its physical form in this reality, not just a bunch of pixels on the computer, and also. Also, I like just the state of mind when you do film photography, because you are more concentrated on the moment. These limitations actually give me more freedom, I think. So when the war started, I was, I almost didn't consider digital documenting. I was, film camera was the first thing that I put in my bag when I was going with my ex-girlfriend to Lviv to help her to evacuate. I just took some clothes and just my film camera and passport. Yeah.
And so far you didn't have to join the army, okay?
Yes, in Ukrainian army, in Ukraine there is like three or four, I don't remember, maybe four wave mobilization process. So the first wave are the people who are already participated in war or have some military experience, and the second and third wave are people who have just military service without participating in war. And I was just, I'm 25, I didn't go to the army, I was student, I don't know how to shoot, even like military paramedicine course that I attended. I attended it only like 1 week before leaving to Germany. So I don't have any experience. And I think if mobilization process will reach me, I will be like in the last line. So far I'm doing things that can help my country. and I'm trying to do it successfully. And as you can see, the gallery, it's this way of helping Ukraine also, because people come and ask questions. Many of them, they don't know some obvious things about Ukraine, but I'm also prepared for this, and I'm happy to answer some questions and explain. So,
okay, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.